Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Again, talking about Exodus chapter number 3. Talking about a memorial. Okay? Now, in 1868, and they established a day of remembrance. And we think that that's when a memorial day started, but it really didn't start then. A memorial day started way back in the Bible. Okay, so we're going to look at some of the things in the Scripture. Matter of fact, the word memorial is mentioned 31 times in the Old and New Testament. It talks about a day of remembrance. A day of remembrance. Now, as we're going through this, let me ask you a question. How many of you have a fantastic memory? Raise your hand. Only a few of you. Mine is fantastic. It's just that I have so much up here, it's hard for me to pull it out. Remember, a memory. Well, in Exodus, the third chapter, God is in the process of delivering the children of Israel from the bondage that they had been in. If you'll remember the story, it went down at the time of Joseph, and Joseph became the ruler right under Pharaoh. He was strong right under Pharaoh, and he preserved them during 7 years of famine. And his people, his family, came down. There were 70 of them total in the family, and they came down to Egypt. And they were taken care of. They were fed down in Egypt because that's where the food was. And through the process of time, they began to grow. As a matter of fact, they were there over 400 years, and they had grown into a mighty nation. And the Egyptians were afraid that they would turn on them in case there was a war. And so they enslaved them, and they made them slaves. And this went on, like I said, for a long period of time. And the time finally came, and you know the story of how Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, and he realized who he was. And one day he tried to do something for his people, wound up killing a man, and he had to flee. He had to run. He had to get out in the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 years, and God spoke to him. Remember that story where God spoke to Moses at the burning bush? And told him, I want you to go back and deliver my people out of their bondage. Okay, they've been there long enough. I'm going to send you. And of course, Moses made several excuses of why he couldn't do it. You know, just like what we do when God calls upon us to do something, we make excuses of why we can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. I can't get up in front of people. I don't know how. You know, all the different excuses. But with God, it doesn't matter. If God calls you to do something, He will give you the ability to do whatever He calls you to do. Amen? Just like He did with Moses. Well, now we're in the process of the children of Israel being delivered. In verse number 15 of the third chapter of the book of Exodus, God is speaking, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so he starts off telling Moses, as he's going to go, who he is, and that he is the memorial. He's the one to be remembered. Okay? He's the one to be remembered. We can go on and we can see in Exodus, the 12th chapter, it says, and this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep the feast of the Lord throughout all your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast and an ordinance forever. Again, in the 13th chapter, he talks about it. He says, this will be a sign to you, a memorial in your eyes, and the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. In Exodus, the 17th chapter, he says, and the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. In Leviticus, God is speaking. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets and a holy convocation. And in Numbers, the 10th chapter, says, also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginning of your month, ye shall blow with trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that ye may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Joshua chapter number 4, verse number 7 says, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In Psalm 135:13, it says, thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. In Hosea 12:5, it says, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. In Zechariah 6:14, and the crown shall be to Halim and Tobijah and to Jediah and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And then in Matthew 26:13, says, verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman and hath done, or what this woman hath done, be it told for a memorial of her. So we can see in several instances, and I didn't read all of them, but in several instances, he's talking about a memorial, a time to remember, a time to remember what God had done, a time to remember where we had been and how we were delivered, a time to remember the goodness of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I got four things. I'm going to just hit them briefly, and we will see them. What are some of the things we should remember? And we should work on our memory, right? Work on our memory. We should remember who God is. And who is God? Well, he's the creator of the universe. There's nothing here on the face of this earth, even this earth itself, that was not created by him. The scripture tells us so. He is the great creator. He is the great I am. He's the great healer. He's the great doctor. He's a great mathematician. Everything that we have about us is from God. And we need to remember that. You and I who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's because of our great God that we have salvation. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We need to remember that. So often we get in a trap where we forget things. And that's why I ask, you know, how many have had good memories? Only a few of you have good memories, and the rest of you are probably honest, saying, I don't remember. And, you know, there's things, for instance, we're going to be celebrating our 49th wedding anniversary this July. Next July, it'll be the 50th. We're planning something big. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're planning something big. And why did we pick July the 3rd? So I'd remember it, and I wouldn't forget my anniversary. Okay, you can't forget it when it's the day before the Independence Day. Oh, we better move on. I'll be in trouble if I go on to that. But there are things we need to remember, and we need to remember who God is. We need to remember who it is that gives us our life, who it is that gives us strength, who it is that gives us the knowledge to work in the jobs that we work in, or gives us the skills that we have. It's God that gives those things to us. God's the one that supplies your needs. Okay, not the government, not the state of California, but God. God is the one that gives you what you have. God's the one that sustains you. God's the one that keeps you. God's the one that protects you. God's the one that gives you health. And when you get sick, he's the one that heals you. We have to remember that and give him the honor and the glory that he's due. We need to remember what he has done in the past. What has he done? Well, for Joshua came up, and the children of Israel had been delivered out of the bondage with a mighty hand. Moses had gone and preached to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't want to let him go. And there were 10 plagues. Remember the 10 plagues? And by the way, those 10 plagues, each one of those was pointed towards one of the gods that the Egyptians worshiped. Every one of them. And God put a plague and destroyed it. And finally delivered the children of Israel. And they went out. They went off into the desert. God didn't lead them into the northern part where they could go up and around, because he says if you get up there, there's other people that'll take care of you and not take care of you in a good way. He says, I'm going to lead you across the Red Sea. I'm going to lead you out into the desert because I'm going to show you something fantastic. And so they got to the Red Sea, and so they've got mountains on the sides of them. They got Pharaoh's army coming down through the valley, and they got the Red Sea on the other side of them. What in the world are we going to do? Oh, no! God, why? Moses, why did you lead us out in the desert to be killed? And you know the story. Moses went and did what God told him to do, and God parted the Red Sea. And they walked across. And by the way, read your Bible. They walked across on dry land. Excuse me. They walked across on dry land, not on muddy land.
Amen.
Not on a land bridge. The waters parted and they walked across on dry land. Now think about this for a moment. Think how wide that had to be. There were probably close to 3.5 million people. We know that there were over 600,000 soldiers in the army at that particular time. So they figured probably 3 million to 3.5 million people, and they all passed on dry land over the night. So it wasn't just a little trickle that came open. It was a wide expanse, wide enough that these people could get across. And then, of course, when Pharaoh tried to come, they were drowned. And I remember the story where the preacher got up, and he was kind of a liberal preacher, and he got up and he says, well, you know, there really wasn't a parting of the Red Sea. It was actually the Reed Sea, and it was about 4 inches deep of water. And a little old lady said, amen! And she was the only one that said amen. And he says, they crossed in the Red Sea in 4 inches of water. And she says, amen! And afterwards, the preacher came up and said, well, I thought you believed the Bible. And she says, well, I do. Well, how come you were amening? And she says, well, my Bible says that Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea after this. So they were drowned in 4 inches of water. Praise God! But, so we see that. We see how they wandered, and we see that God led them by day and led them by night. We see how God fed them. He sent quail in to feed them. Again, think of the enormity of this, of what took place. Think they came, and this happened for years. Every evening, the quail would come into the camp. Remember, we're talking about 3.5 million people. And the quail would come in, and there would be enough for everybody to have food. Every morning they could go out and God sent manna. Okay? And they said, what is it? I don't know. That's what it's called. Manna. What is it? They didn't know what it was. What is it? Manna. He said it was kind of like, it was a bread type thing. They were able to make a bread out of it. They could gather in the morning all they needed for the day. Okay? All they needed. God fed them with quail and bread for years. 3.5 million people. Think about that. The Bible tells us that during this whole time, even though they wandered around for 40 years, it says that their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out. Now, how would you like to have a pair of shoes that would last for 40 years? I remember when our kids were growing up, our son would go through a pair of shoes every year, you know. We'd have to get him a new pair, sometimes a couple pair, and go through them. Last for 40 years. How would you like to be able to have, you wouldn't have to make clothes for 40 years. Some of the ladies would say, no, I don't like that, you know. You don't have to have the same dress for the 40 years. Us guys, you know, we don't care as long as it doesn't wear out. God took care of them. When they needed water, and it's out there in the desert, and there's no water out in the desert, God told Moses, go, strike the rock. And he goes and he strikes the rock. And they have water, fresh water out in the desert. Enough to feed 3.5 million people. See, get that figure in your mind and you can see the enormity of what God did to these folks. He led them, he guided them, he fed them, he gave them water, he protected them from advancing armies. When they were wicked and they sinned and he sent fiery serpents for them, he saved them by having Moses make the brass serpent and putting it on a pole. Remember the story? Pastor preached on that. All those things. And so they're now, it's all over. They're actually going to go into the promised land. And so he tells Joshua, he says, Joshua, I want you to be prepared. I want you to go through and I want you to go back through the River Jordan and pick up some stones and put them up on the side of the bank in the middle of the river and on the bank. And he says, and when people see that stones, they'll be reminded of what I've done for them. I've brought them out of bondage into a land flowing with milk and honey. And folks, we need to remember what God has done for us. What has he done for us? Well, I don't know what he's done for you, but I remember back in 1966, August of 1966, he saved me. He forgave me. He cleansed me. I was born again, and I praise God for that. I think back through the years and how he's protected me and how he's watched over me and how he's guided me and how he's chastised me when I needed chastisement and how he's provided all of my needs physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally because he promised in his word. And he's done it for you too. And we need to remember that God takes care of his own. Amen. We look around on how things are going in our country. And even though I think this is the greatest country that the world has seen in thousands of years, and we say, man, this country is going to hell in a handbag. It's getting bad. It's getting wicked. But our God is still our God. And he's still on the throne and he still controls things. If he took care of us in the past, don't you think he'll take care of us in the future? Huh? Don't you think so? If he's taking care of us in the good years, don't you think he'll take care of us in the bad years? Right. Because he did it to the children of Israel. Okay? And we're his children too. We need to be reminded of that. That God is a good God. He's not sitting up in heaven, sitting up there with thunderbolts ready to just pounce on you just because, you don't act like you're supposed to act sometimes, because we all do that from time to time because we're all sinners. You know? It's not God's desire to trip us up and cause us, pain and suffering. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to bless us. He tells us that his thoughts of us are continual, and the thoughts are only good thoughts. All good things and perfect things come down from God. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that God answers prayer. And he does. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have had a prayer this year that you've prayed and you've asked God for? You maybe had to ask him several times, but he answered the prayer. He answered the prayer. It may not have been exactly the way you wanted it to be answered, but it was answered. Some of you may have had a financial need and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and God answered the financial need. Some of you had a physical need. And you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and God took care of the physical need. Some of you had a family need. Someone in the family were having some problems in the family, and you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and God answered your prayer. Okay? It may not have been exactly the way you expected it to be answered, but it was answered. And we need to remember that. That God is a God that answers prayer. That our God is a God that loves us. Okay? He loves you. You may be a stinker. God knows. You may come here and everything looks just fine, but God knows your heart. He knows my heart. But he still loves us. Isn't that something? We love people if they can love us back. We love people if they're lovely. We love people if they're good and kind to us. But God loves us no matter what. And we need to remember that on this day, that God loves me. He loves me. If I was the only one that needed salvation, Jesus would have come and hung on that cross and shed his blood to save my soul. Now, I wasn't the only one, but if I were the only one, he still would have done it. And the same thing goes with you. He loves you. And we need to remember that. He cares for us. He supplies our needs. And sometimes he gives us our wants as well as our needs, because he's a loving father. We need to remember that. And the third thing that we need to remember is we need to remember our devotion to Christ. As I mentioned, I trusted the Lord as my Savior in August of 1966. I did not grow up in a Christian home. Okay, my father was a drunk. And although my mother was a good mother, she wasn't saved. She wasn't a Christian. We did not sing hymns in our house. We did not have a Bible and have devotions. We didn't pray over our meals. We didn't thank God for anything. We had one Bible in the house, and that Bible didn't have any pictures in it, so I didn't read it very much because it didn't have any pictures in it. I didn't get past the first few chapters of Genesis because of I couldn't understand it. And the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. So I was unsaved. We went to church 4 times that I can think of. Okay? Once was a Pentecostal church. Or was it 3 times? I think it was 3 or 4 times. One was a Pentecostal church. I got into a Pentecostal church. It scared the death out of me. Kid standing right next to me started speaking in tongues, and I thought something was weird going on with him, and there was. And I told my mom and dad, I don't want to go back. I says, I'm scared. I don't want to go back, because that scared me. The second one I went to was the Salvation Army church. They didn't preach the gospel. The only thing that I can even remember that took place during that church is I made some sort of stupid little craft that didn't work out that I was supposed to make, and it fell apart when I got home. We went to a Baptist church in town, the first Baptist church in town, and not a single person, not one single person came up and shook our hand and said, "We're glad that you're here today." Not one. And by the way, sideline, and this would be from free, anytime someone comes back that door, you need to welcome them and tell them that you're glad they're here. Amen? Because folks need to feel welcomed here. Okay. That never happened. They didn't preach. We went to one other, but I can't remember exactly what happened. But no one ever preached the gospel to us and told us about God's love. Okay. Except for the landlady, our landlady. And for 3 years, she tried to get us to go to church, and we wouldn't go to church because we had better things to do on Sunday. My drunken dad needed to sober up and nurse a hangover. My mother, who had to go out and do housework at other people's houses to be able to put food on the table, because my drunken dad would spend his paychecks before they got home, and so she had to go and get supplemental income to make sure that we had food on the table and clothes on my body. And so she neglected her house until the weekend, Sunday. And that's when she did all of her house cleaning. And I did house cleaning too, if I was there. I tried my best not to be there. And she also got even with my father, because he's nursing a hangover, and she just let him have it. What a rotten, no good drunk that he was. I would get up early Sunday morning and I would try to leave, try to go and do anything for Sunday to get out of the house. Okay? So we did not have anything spiritual except for the landlady. And she kept trying to go to church, and she would try to get us to go to church. We would never go to church. We moved, and I was so glad we moved. We moved on the other side of town. We found a house that was fairly new in a housing tract on the other side of town, and we moved there. Well, during that 3 years, we had kind of become friends, and the landlady came to visit us one day, and they loved our house so much, they found a house 6 doors down from us and bought it. Think God was in that? Could have been. And of course, she, you know, you need Jesus, you ought to come to church. You need Jesus, you ought to come to church. That's about all she would say. You really need Jesus in your home. Why don't you come to church? She wasn't a dynamic soul winner, didn't come and quote all sorts of scriptures. She just said, you need Jesus and you need to come to church. I went to church, finally. I was the only one in my family that said, all right, I'll go. Maybe she'll leave me alone. And that's the day that I heard how Jesus loved me. That's the day that I heard how he died on the cross and shed his blood. And he went into the tomb and was buried. And 3 days later, he arose victorious over day. That's the day I got up from the fifth row back and came down and knelt down before my God and said, oh God, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. And he saved me, and he changed me. I used to drink and smoke. Did you know that? When I was a teenager. I came home, and from that day until this day, I've never touched a drop of alcoholic drink outside of, what's that stuff? It's 25% alcohol? NyQuil. That's good stuff. I smoked Winston cigarettes. Okay, and that's the brand my mother smoked. My mother smoked Winston's filtered cigarettes. My dad smoked Camels, no filters. And that means, you know, there was all the tobacco and everything, you know, was all over everything. And I didn't like his cigarettes because I didn't like the tobacco all over everything. So I liked my mother's cigarettes, and so I smoked those cigarettes. I came home from church that day, and I went into my bedroom. Now, my mom knew I smoked. She didn't know that I drank because she'd kill me. And I didn't want to die that soon. And so she didn't know that I did that, but she knew that I smoked, and she knew that I smoked Winston cigarettes. I had a whole carton of Winston cigarettes. I went into my bedroom, I pulled them out, and I started ripping them up. And she came in and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Mom, I got saved today and I don't need these things anymore." She says, "I got saved today and I don't need these anymore." She said, "You got what?" And I said, "I trusted Jesus as my Savior today, and I don't need these cigarettes anymore, and you don't need them either." And so I ripped every single one of them up and threw them in the trash. Never smoked another one since. And I'm saying that because God did something for me.
Amen.
And I remember that. He changed my life. I was lost in sin. I was dead in trespasses and sin, on my way to a sinner's hell. And he saved me that day. He changed my life. He changed my want to's. He changed my desires. It wasn't long before I wanted to. I called a lady. I told her. I said, "I asked Jesus to be my Savior today. Can you come and get me for Sunday school? I don't know what it is, but get me for Sunday school." And she started taking me to Sunday school. I found out that they had services at nighttime. And I said, "I want to go. I want to go. I want to be there." I had a desire. I had a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. So I started going on Sunday nights. And they said, we've got a Wednesday night prayer meeting." I said, "I don't know what it is, but I want to go. I want to do it. I want to come Wednesday nights." And I'd have them come pick me up at Wednesday nights. It got to where every time the doors were open, I wanted to be there because God had done something for me. God had changed my life. God had saved me from my sin. God had changed my destination from a sinner's hell to a saint's heaven. And I remember that day. And folks, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, you ought to remember that day. You ought to remember the day He took you out of darkness and brought you into light. And it ought to spur in your heart and your desire a hunger and a thirst to walk closer with the Lord. A hunger and a thirst to learn more about Him. I begin to read God's Word. I begin to memorize God's Word. I begin to pray. And I says, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. I taught a little boys class when a teenage boy teaching little boys. When I got a driver's license, they gave me the keys to a church van. I went and picked the little kids up, put them in the van. They came up to me and said, "We don't have a song leader." I said, "I can't lead music. That ain't going to happen." And they says, "Well, yeah, you can do it. You got a voice. You get up there and sing." I don't know what to do. As a matter of fact, the pianist would pick out the songs, and we would meet on Wednesday night, and she would say, "These are the songs that we're going to sing Sunday morning." And she would play the songs out for me. She says, this is how you do it. You're going to play this song right over here, and you're going to lead this song." And I says, "Well, what do I do?" She says, "Get up there and wave your hands. That's all you got to do." So I get up there and wave my hands. They'll follow along. I became the song leader. Anything that God wanted me to do, I said, I want to do. Why? Because He changed me. And I remembered what He did. I remember that. It was a short time after that that God began to work on my heart. And He said, I want you to go and preach the word. And I said, not me. You see, I was an introvert. You know what an introvert is? Okay. Do we have some introverts in here? I was an introvert. I didn't like to get up in front of people. I did not like to give oral reports. I would give a book report in writing. But I would take an F if I had to do an oral report. If we went someplace where there was a lot of people, I found the darkest, most furthest corner of the place that there was, and that's where I would hide. Because I says, I can't talk to people. I can't get up in front of people. My heart's desire was to be a doctor, a heart surgeon, because I wanted to be a heart surgeon. I didn't want to be a general practitioner because they would have to talk to people. Okay, I wanted to be a heart surgeon. That way I could go in. They wouldn't see my face. They'd already be under. I could do my job. I could do whatever needed to be done with their heart, sew them all up, and they wouldn't see anything. Just give them a bill. I'd be rich, and I wouldn't have to talk with anybody. That's what I wanted. But God kept working on my heart and saying, I want you to do this. And finally, my senior year, I went to Camp Hume down in Southern California. And at that camp, I said to God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. If you will give me the ability to do it. I'll give up my hopes and my dreams, what I want to do. And by the way, I had an uncle that was going to pay all of my medical expenses to go to college. He was going to pay all of it. When he found out that I surrendered to be a preacher, he didn't want to have anything to do with me. Not one dime did I get from him. But I says, God, whatever you want. And I went and I told my pastor, I made a decision. And the decision is, I'm going to follow Jesus and do whatever He wants me to do. And he says, good, you're giving the devotion tonight. Oh, gee. Oh. I said, okay, I gave the devotion. A few weeks after that, he said, we're going to have a special service. We're going to have a young people service. Young people are going to sing and young people are going to preach. And there was another young man who was going off to Bible college. He was 1 year my senior. And the pastor says, you need to go to Bible college. And I says, okay, I'll go, because that's what God wants me to do. All right, I said, I'd do it. And he says, you and he are going to preach that day. He comes up to me and he says, we can't use John 3:16, you can't use Romans, the third chapter and the sixth chapter. You can't use those three. Those are the only three that I knew. He says, you can't preach on those, and you're preaching first. The pastor had it in mind that the three of us would get up and the other guy could preach a whole sermon in 5 minutes. I'm serious. He'd get up there and he'd read it so fast. He could just, amen, and it's all over with. You know, so I think the pastor thought I was going to be just like that. And so he figured, you know, he'd do 5 minutes, I'd do 5 minutes, and he would have the rest of the time to preach a sermon. So he said, all three of us are going to preach this Sunday. I got my mother to come and be in the service. My father would not come, but my mother did. She came to the service. I went to the 17th chapter of the book of Kings, and I got a sermon out of that. First one that I ever got up. I got up and preached. I preached for 45 minutes. The other guy got up, preached his 5 minutes. Pastor got up, gave an invitation, and we had souls saved. Still, it scares me to get up in front of people. But you see, it's not me, it's God. And whatever God wants me to do, that will I do. I've been a pastor, I've been an assistant pastor, I've been a youth pastor, I've been a music director, a choir director, a Sunday school director, a principal of a Christian school, administrator of a Christian school. Anything that God wanted me to do, I'll do. Do I have all those skills? No. I don't. But I have a willing heart. And whatever God says, I want you to do this, I say, okay, I'll do it. I'll trust you. And folks, those are something, you can do it. There's things that God wants you to do. And you say, well, I can't do it. I can't do anything. You can. You can be whatever God wants you to be if you're willing to do it. If you just remember, you gave your heart to Jesus. Let Him use you. Let Him use you. Be what God wants you to be. There's some of you young men. God could be calling you to preach or be a missionary. You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can be whatever God wants you to be. There's some of you that God may be laying on your heart to be a teacher in a Christian school. You can be whatever God wants you to be. There's some of you who say, well, that time has passed. Well, it may be past, but there's other things God would have you to do. And you can do it. You can do anything. What's that verse? I can, say it with me, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. So let's do something for God. Let's remember who He is. Let's remember what He's done. And let's remember that He can use us in any capacity. Let's go home and let's get in our prayer closets and say, God, use me. Here am I. Use me. What do you want me to do? Use me. Let's do that. And let's see what God does with our hearts and with our lives. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.